Finally, the market report. Here's Jillian Ferguson.
This is Jillian Ferguson with the Market Report. I'm here in Santa Monica today with Kevin Meehan of Cali Restaurant, which is over on Melrose. And Kevin, I spotted you in the middle of the market carrying something I have never seen before. Describe what's in your arms right now.
I have, it's about 2 feet long, maybe about a foot wide at the base and about 4 inches on top. It's white and it's got multiple layers to it. It's a Hearts of Palm from Murray's Farm. And so what you do is you kind of peel off the layers here, and then the inside core is super tender and delicious. And towards the base, if you peel it back, there's like layers like, that one's a little too woody, and you peel another one off, it gets less woody. But it comes to a point where, like, imagine a really large turnip and you can slice it paper thin. However, I'm still kind of working on this. It's new to me as well. I gotta tell you, the bottom of it has like a kind of a weird flavor to it that I dislike, and I'm not serving the bottom. However, I'm still experimenting because I know I could figure it out. I bet you if I slice it and maybe soak it in water for a night and leach out, there's like a flavor profile that's like kind of a weird adjective to put it, but it almost like tastes like when like you go to like a hair salon and someone's getting a perm and like that weird perm chemical thing. Okay. So I'll chew on it and I'm like, crunchy, like jicama, like a thin potato. And then I'm like, what's that flavor? And I can't get over it. And it's all I taste now. It's like if you know the ending, you're expecting it. So I want to figure out how I can leach out that flavor. Obviously, I slice it, I blanch it, I pickle it, but still, I know it's there. So what I'm going to try today is I'm going to try a couple different techniques of kind of figuring out how to use this. And maybe it doesn't work. I don't know.
So what's the difference between this, getting it fresh, and when you get it in like a can, for instance? Well, do you know how the cans have been processed?
I'm assuming the canned version, they do all the work for you, and then they probably, there's different levels of quality, and there's probably bad Hearts of Palm, and there's probably good Hearts of Palm. I always like learned that it was not a sustainable thing, Hearts of Palm and bluefin tuna, these are like the big faux pas of the culinary world, right? But what I learned is that what was not sustainable is that people were just cutting down palm trees and just using for Hearts of Palm and not regrowing them. And then, there was a big environmental impact of that. That's not good farming practice. But he grows them just for this. So that's why it's sustainable. And, he plants a palm tree to cut it down. That's the business plan. So let's talk about the good Hearts of Palm that's canned. I assume they can it and they naturally brine it with a little acid, hopefully no preservatives, but they do all the work for you. So I'm going the long way, and it's clearly more expensive as well. But it's the farmer's market, and it's something that Stephen offers, and it's I need to support these guys too. Also, it's fun for my guests.
Right.
This with Buddha's hand, like I'm walking around today, people are like, what is that? That's a Buddha's hand? I'm like, I'm gonna serve with the Hearts of Palm. They're like, what's going on there? And sure, that's my niche. That's what I'm doing today, is I'm taking the weird stuff and making it tasty and beautiful.
So the idea is to slice it thin and then do what with the Buddha's hand?
So the Buddha's hand, another thing that's not easily prepared and it takes a little technique, the Buddha hand has no juice to it. It's all pith. The flavor, I best describe it as, like, you remember like those Merino Italian ices, the yellow ones, the lemon ones? Like, no, there's like the top of it, but on the very bottom, there's like that weird, like the sugar settles the bottom. And like it has like a Meyer lemony, like, It's so fragrant and that amazing lemon flavor. However, it's all pith and it's super bitter. So what I do is I slice it paper thin, and then I blanch it, and then I cook it in like vinegar with lots of sugar in it. So it's kind of like, it's simple syrupy, vinegary, and then that's great. So if I slice it paper thin, you can kind of put in your mouth like almost like sushi ginger, and I apply it like that.
So at what point in your menu is this dish going to appear? Is this like a dessert? Is this a palate cleanser?
I've been going with this dish. Actually, we started, I came here last week, I had a Hearts of Palm and a Buddha's hand, and I rolled out last week, and I'm doing a local yellowtail with a buttermilk leches de tigre and a salad of Hearts of Palm and Buddha hand and basil with that. So, but I can't use the bottom of the Hearts of Palm. I'll only use the tops, but I want to figure out the bottom. That's my mission today. And that's what's winding my gears today, is that's my little puzzle. And I'm okay with it failing too. So if I do it and it doesn't work out, that's okay. And my cooks learn something, I learn something, and maybe other guests out there listening can learn. Someone can help me out here. Tell me what the trick is. Because it's like raw olives are gross. And so someone figured out how to leach out olives and get rid of the bitterness. So there's a technique I'm sure that's out there that I can't find. And maybe I'm Googling it wrong, but either way, I'm open to the fact that, I'm a student.
Well, the way you described it sounds delicious to me. And it's fun to hear about your experimentation. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That was Kevin Meehan of Cali over on Melrose. He is experimenting with some Hearts of Palm here at the Santa Monica Farmers Market. Right now is that magical time of year at the farmers market where summer butts up against the fall, and it also happens to coincide with fig season. And Margarita Smith of Mud Creek Ranch in Santa Paula is one of the purveyors of figs here at the farmers market. Margarita, tell us how many varieties of figs you're growing.
As of right now, we are growing about 12 varieties of different figs. Some green skin with, like, you know, super dark purple color on the inside, the panache, the tiger figs. There's the Adriatic, there's the lighter figs, all the difference with the skin textures. Some are super chewy and meaty, and like some already taste like jam and brown sugar.
And are they all meant for different applications, or are they all sort of just for eating out of hand?
I mean, obviously all fruit should just be eaten out of hand, right? But yeah, brown turkey is really awesome for grilling just because it's a firmer texture and it holds up really well. And it's not overpoweringly sweet. So if you add other stuff, say you wanted to do like a honey glaze on it and roast it that way, it's delicious. And then the other figs that are less sweet, if you actually apply them like to a savory dish and roast them in the oven with, say, like chicken, pork, or whatever vegetables you wanted to do, that's another way to do them. There is one fig called the Celeste fig. It's one of the tiniest figs, but the inside is like already pure jam and just falls apart like super smooth butter-like. That is probably like eating by itself is my favorite fig.
Yeah, I know. I remember the first time I tasted that at your stand. It's a very special fig. So give us a sense about how figs grow, because they are a fascinating fruit.
They are very fascinating, and it starts with the bud, the flower of it, and then each fig gets pollinated by a wasp. Sometimes the wasps, when they pollinate, they go into the cavity and they naturally just get stuck there or die in that sense. But by the time that you eat it, it's already decomposed enough that it's the same idea of like compost and it, all the materials and proteins being broken down and all you're getting is nutrients out of it.
And when you talk about the wasp, it's a very specific fig wasp, right?
Yes. Yeah. I can't remember the specific name of it right now, but it's a wasp that isn't indigenous to here, obviously. But yeah, it just helps pollinate the figs.
And do you happen to know where do figs come from? What part of the world?
Originally from the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're actually, so it turns out with us and the direction that we were going to maybe like 6 years ago with California drought and having more drought tolerant crops, I guess is a good way of putting it. We decided to plant more figs because they're very drought tolerant and they survive with like little water.
And one of the last times I spoke to you was actually right after the fires a few years ago. Have you guys been able to rebuild your farm?
For the most part, all the orchards planted again, which is really nice. They're all super young trees. We planted more apricots and stone fruit and things like that, and more lemons, because it turns out lemons are a much better fire retardant than avocados. You still deal with some stuff with the insurance and waiting for the barn, but that is slowly happening this summer, so that's really good.
That's great to hear. Wonderful. Well, how much longer will you have the figs?
Probably, I would say we'll have them like maybe for another 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, thank you so much, Margarita.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was Margarita Smith of Mud Creek Ranch. She and her parents, Robin and Steve, farm up in Santa Paula. For the Market Report, I'm Jillian Ferguson.
That's it for our show this week. In case you missed any of it, listen on our website or on KCRW's mobile app, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and as always, leave us a review if you liked what you heard. My thanks go to the Good Food team. They are Nick Liao, Laurel Garcia, Joseph Stone, Chuck P., and Ronnie Mickelson. Special thanks to Laura Kondarajan, Amy Ta, Kenny Ng, and Jacqueline Kim. I'm Evan Kleiman. I'll be back next week with more good food.